Sergeant Warren nodded. The person we are looking for, Charlie, would have to have access to the grounds. A lot of access to the grounds. Were any patients allowed out? Or by definition, does that mean we should focus on staff? Charlie paused, frowned, reviewed his list. Well, I didn't want to start with it, but there was an incident. Yes? Warren prodded. 1970, Charlie said. See, there was a reason the head nurse, Jill Cochran, liked us college boys. We were strong, sure, that definitely helped. But also, we were fresh, optimistic. We didn't just take care of the patients, we genuinely cared about them. Myself, I already knew back then I wanted to be a minister. A mental hospital is a good place to start if you want to reach troubled souls. I got to learn firsthand what a difference the right word at the right time can mean for a person. But I gotta say, it's a place where no one should linger, not even the staff. The older guys, the experienced ANs who hung around for decades, hell, some of those guys grew loonier than the patients. They got institutionalized themselves, forgot what life was beyond the hospital walls. When I first started in reception, there was a patient with a filthy bandage on his leg. First night, I asked the charge attendant what was with the bandage. He had no idea. Hadn't even noticed the patient had a bandage on his leg. So, I entered the patient's room, ask him if I can check out his leg. Minute I remove the bandage, a stream of pus shoots across the room. And then, right in front of my eyes, maggots pour out of the wound. Turns out the poor guy got an ulceration on his leg 2 months before. Doctor bandaged it up. No one ever checked it again. Not a single AN. They'd been looking at the patient for months without ever seeing him. Well, that was bad enough, neglectful. But sometimes, things got a little worse. Charlie broke off, looking uncomfortable again. Both Warren and Dodge were listening intently now. From my vantage point, slouched low in Dodge's car, I could tell both investigators were hanging on Charlie's every word. I know I was. The retired minister took a deep breath. So, one night I get a call from the nurse at the residence for female patients, Carrie Strack. She asks me if so-and-so is on duty. I say yes. Carrie asks me where he is. Well, I do a little walkabout of the I building, but don't see him. I tell her he's out, maybe gone for dinner. There's a long pause. Carrie tells me, in a very peculiar voice, that I need to come over right now. Now, I'm the only one around. I can't just leave I building. I try to explain this, but she tells me again in that funny little voice that I don't have a choice. She means right now. What can I do? Now I'm really concerned. I go over. Carrie meets me out front and without a word escorts me upstairs. She stops in front of the closed door of a patient's room. I look through the window, and there's my fellow AN in bed with a patient. She's 17 years old, real pretty, and catatonic. I've never wanted to hurt a fellow human being so badly in my life. What did you do? Detective Dodge asked quietly. I opened the door. Minute Adam heard the noise, he looked up. You could see on his face he knew it was over. He climbed off her, zipped up, walked out of the room. I escorted him back to the I building, to the office where I called our supervisor. Adam was fired on the spot, of course.